Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
Full windup by Clemens. And a swing on hit high in the air, deep to center field, way back it may go. Gone! A grand slam! A grand slam! Mike Piazza!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I call his wife and hey,
nothing
404.
To say, but
what a day. How's your boy been?
On this Thursday morning, I got you for another hour until 5 a.m. in the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. And it's game day. I know a lot happened with baseball. Two losses, one more annoying than the other. Certainly to lose a series to the Orioles sucks. The Mets had opportunity after opportunity, 0-10 with runners in scoring position, unable to come through. The bullpen is starting to show cracks as well as injuries, but they're flying high. You're still waiting for Juan Soto to get hot, and he will. The Yankees are 500. Right now, it's game day. Game 6, Knicks-Pistons in a game that, in my mind, I know must win only means must win. So do the Knicks need to win this game? No, they can win game 7. But I will tell you this. This is a game that I feel more confident that the Knicks can win than if they lose this game and try and go to play game 7. Game 7 would scare the hell out of me. This is now a Knicks team that is going into Detroit as underdog. A Detroit team that has taken two of the first three games played at Madison Square Garden, heading home extremely confident, knowing they have gotten the better of the play for probably most of this series, if we're being fair. And if the Knicks do not show up tonight with a different urgency, a different compete level, which to be fair, they did show up with the first two games in Detroit in games 3 and 4. If they don't come out and win this basketball game, game 7, where anything can happen, you are talking about a Pistons team that would have won two games in a row to stave off elimination, coming off their first home playoff win in forever, going back to a building where they've already won two games in this series with exactly zero pressure. All of the pressure is on the New York Knicks. The Pistons probably have already done enough, but certainly you'd like to get that first home win and force a game 7. And if the Pistons do that tonight, they have had a great season. They came back, they win 14 games last year. They make the playoffs this year. They fall down 3-1 after pretty much having the better of the play in all three road games. Winning their first playoff home game in forever, forcing a game 7, that's a great That's a great season. To fight back from 3-1 and win two games and force game seven, that's enough. There is zero pressure. All of the pressure will be on the New York Knicks to not lose a series that they can't lose, to not lose a series that would be an indictment on everyone associated with the team, including its captain and superstar Jalen Brunson. And there's been a lot of talk about the coach. Well-deserved. I had real issues with how some of the offensive game plans have gone on and lack thereof and adjustments, and guys have really good first halves and disappear in the second half. You got 14 points from OG Anunoby, doesn't touch the ball in the first half, doesn't touch the ball in the second half. This game two, and where the hell was Karl Anthony Towns? It falls on the players for being nowhere. It falls on the coach for not making it happen. The coach's decision yesterday, or should I say the other day now, in game five, to have Jalen Brunson standing there, to have Josh Hart standing there as the game is slipping away, Jalen Brunson being unable to come and hit a single shot, missing free throws. These are the kind of games, these are the kind of series you can't lose. This is a series that's an indictment on everybody, makes you wonder about the core of this team, makes you wonder about the head coach. And while I don't think we would wonder about the level of play or how great Jalen Brunson is, let's be fair. We base our superstars and judge them on victories. And this would be a devastating series loss. This would be, and unfortunately there's not many to choose from over the last 20 years, this would be as bad a series loss as I can remember as a Knicks fan. Like, me and Fleas were talking about the Pistons and, the Pacers. In 13 with Carmelo, that was a devastating loss. They were better than that Pacers team. That was a ugly, ugly loss. And what do we think about Carmelo Anthony? How is he viewed? Right now, for the most part, people come, he cheers, then we cheer him, and you know it's great to see him at the Garden. But how do we feel about him? What's his legacy? He's a Hall of Famer. I think Brunson's been a better Nick and a better player in a Nick uniform, but Carmelo Anthony was pretty damn good. And how do we feel about him? Superstars are based on winning. This is a legacy game for the player. We're talking about the coach's job. We're talking about the core of this team. There's a lot of things hanging in the balance of ending this series tonight, because anything can happen in Game 7, and all the pressure in the world will be on this Knicks team. And with Jalen Brunson in and out of games ankle injury consistently in the last couple games, needing some time. Like, anything is possible, and that can't happen. I know it's all about beating the Celtics, and most Knicks fans feel like that's a pointless endeavor anyway. They can't beat the Celtics. We all know it. Not only was it proven in the regular season, but proven furthermore here in the postseason, because they can't even easily get past the Pistons. That's all. I don't care about that right now. I care about this team showing me something and winning this damn series. And I still expect them to, but it better happen tonight, because Game 7 scares the hell out of me. Just think about that scenario. This young Pistons team, just stupid enough to think they're the better team, having won two games in a row, their first home playoff game since the 2008 Eastern Conference Finals against Boston? 2009, like, it's been forever since they've won a home playoff game. They'll win two in a row, heading back to a building that they've been more successful than the Knicks in this series. I don't want to see it. Tonight is the night. It's usually myself and Maury, but Brunson, tonight is your night, bro. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. You guys have been on hold a little bit. Mark in California. What's up, Mark?
What's going on?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
We're pretty good. Yeah, I was going to talk Yanks, but...
That's fine. You can talk Knicks and Yanks. That's fine.
Now that we're on the Knicks call. Hey, Chris, you were a producer for Steve Summers, correct?
I was. That's how my first job was board up for... My first full-time gig here was board up for Steve Summers, yes.
His birthday was on the 17th, right? Maybe this month. Happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. I'm sorry. I forgot Steve's birthday. You got to call me to the carpet for it? Same as Boomer as well.
Happy
birthday, Boomer!
Follower. Birthday boomers. I was a long time caller for Steve for a long time. I call in all the time. But what I will say before this is, your producer. Hey, listen, man. Like, I just got like grilled. Like, I had like a job interview.
There you go. That's his job.
I get it.
Not everybody's allowed to grade. It's not a privilege. It is a privilege, rather. It's not a, you're not guaranteed your ability to speak to me. So Mike is there to sure you have something to say to bring to the program.
You know what I mean? I call in a lot and just...
You also made the mistake of calling like at 3, 4 o'clock when it picks up a little bit. You call at 2:45, I promise you can say whatever the hell you want.
Yeah. I got off work late, so I was watching the... with JJ Redick on the thing, so I called in and I wanted to talk that because I was just
he had a good series, huh?
Yeah, man, it was so strange to me, like what he was talking about. Somebody was telling him about his substitutions, and he's just like, "Well, what am I, an inexperienced coach?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you are. You are an inexperienced head coach. Like, what do you? Come on, bro, you got to own it, right?" But listen, I mean, these Knicks are, it's a little scary because remember, Isaiah Stewart's their best rim protector.
Mm-hmm.
They were without Jaden Ivey,
yep,
who is a very, very, very good player. But people need to stop acting surprised. Like, this isn't like a Knicks squad that went 9-20 against top 10 defense. Like, Pistons were not just great, but phenomenal. In the last 50 games, they ranked 5th in total defense.
Yeah.
Like, this is a squad that, and guess what? If they do lose, I think they can go toe to toe with Boston.
Mm.
Like, this team has good, not beat Boston, but go toe-to-toe in terms of they got good three ball, they got good defense. Their three defense is not very good. And, Orlando's is much better. But I just think the Knicks need another shooter outside of Brunson that can play off the dribble because we're just not seeing it. Like, Mikal Bridges is...
He's not been that guy. No, he's not been that guy.
The Knicks bench is the worst Knicks bench I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I don't know about that. But, yeah, I mean, there have been starting fives that might not be as good as this Knicks bench in the history of the Knicks over the last 20 years. But, no, I hear you. The bench is terrible. I can't imagine. When you say play the bench, it's more about just, maybe finding out about some guys, but it's about keeping guys rested throughout the year. It's now I don't want to play the bench. And I was listening, driving in, a couple of different calls called into Keith talking about PJ Tucker. I'm like, no, they don't need, like, the one thing I'll say, and I agree with you on the defense that the Pistons have presented in the series and the smothering nature of it. Like, I think the Knicks have been tough. Like, that's not necessarily my issue. They haven't hit shots. They haven't been able to create their own shots. They haven't, like you just mentioned, Bridges has missed. I know he scored more points than anybody else in the fourth quarter last game. Even then, I wasn't really overly impressed with his offensive performance. Like, he's done nothing. OG Anunoby offensively has come and gone. He'll have a quarter. Like, it was definitely last game, and it was either game one or game two. I think it was game one. We had, like, a great offensive performance in the first half, and then you don't hear from him. Same thing with Carl Anthony Towns, 10 or 12 points in the first half, and then you don't hear from him in the second half. Like, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And, Tibbs is, let's just be totally honest, his strengths and his weaknesses, we all know them. And right now, the weakness of no offensive game plan or offensive adjustments at all has been glaring. It's been glaring. But as far as, like, toughness, I don't think they've backed off an inch. I don't think they've given the Pistons an inch, man. They have been right in their face. They've been battling with them. Like, the toughness issue hasn't been an issue for me. It's been getting good possessions. It's really, that's what it's been. It's been getting good possessions. They haven't had enough of them. Paul in Buffalo. What's up, Paul?
Hey, good morning, Chris. In 2025, baseball is at the 50,000-foot level, such a transition. It's so interesting. In Barry Bonds' day, when he was doing his thing, 01, 02, 03, 04, I was in the Army, so I was stationed in Fort Bragg, going to Iraq, Afghanistan. But wherever I was, I had the Armed Forces Network,
okay. And
you would talk the national sports stories, because that's what they were broadcasting.
Right.
And at that time, Barry Bonds was 100% a national sports story.
Right.
We talked about him all the time. We talked about him vis-a-vis Babe Ruth, steroids, what have you.
Sure.
And in today's day, with Aaron Judge flirting with what may be the greatest right-handed season in the history of baseball,
right,
it's still very much a regional story.
Yes.
Chris, you know, confession here. I watched opening day, and I've been watching the NHL playoffs. I follow along... excuse me, via highlights, what have you. But I haven't watched a game yet besides opening day because baseball has become, at the 50,000-foot level, to me, a playoff sport. It is now half the teams make the playoffs, like basketball and hockey.
Not quite closer than I'd like, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, it's shocking to me. Aaron Judge is really, literally, best right-handed season in the history of baseball, perhaps. And mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he held on for 400 all the way through the season. But I don't frankly care yet because the Florida Panthers just took out an elite Tampa Bay Lightning team in five games, and they look deadly. And the Toronto Maple Leafs are about to choke away another series.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's going to be hell broke loose. And I know that the Yankees are going to be in the playoffs. And I'm really, frankly, more interested to see Judgy and Stanton back-to-back in the playoffs and who's going to hit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with the sentiment that baseball has become, you know, the 162 has become lessened by the playoffs, and that's been everyone's fear when adding playoff teams. It's that you play so many regular season games, they have to mean something. That's why they've tried to, you know, incentivize winning the division and, you know, making the wild cards play a one-game series. Then players didn't like that, so now it's a three-game set. Like, the playoffs are important. And they make money, and they're going to keep adding. They're never going to subtract. We get it. But it does minimize 162, there's no doubt. Now, baseball's always kind of been, in my estimation, a bit of a regional sport for a while. I mean, I shouldn't say always. It used to be the national pastime and was the national sport. But it feels like for a while now it's been very regional. And you don't care about it once your team's eliminated and you really focus on your team. And that's why I think it's almost more personal than the other sports, quite honestly. I think you're less likely to have kids fall in love with like superstars of other teams, and I guess a little bit like that, but like the NFL, you watch the NFL Sunday, you watch the Sunday Ticket, you watch the Red Zone, and you're on you play fantasy football, and you know all the players, you know all the stars, and basketball, you know everybody's sneakers, and you know Curry, and you know, like, you see the highlights. And baseball, it's every day, and it's your team, and you're with your team. So I've always talked about that I love the regional nature of it, because I feel like you get more connected. You play 162, you watch every single game, you watch every single post game, it's every single night. And you're less focused on what the other teams are doing, where you're more focused on that, certainly in the NBA, and then, certainly in the NFL, and then even in the NBA. And I don't love how many playoff teams there are. I'll be totally honest with you. I don't love it. But I don't think that minimizes what Judge is doing. And I don't know how, well, eventually it becomes a national story, not in April. I agree with you. Sparky in Dobbs Ferry. What's up, Sparky?
Oh, not much. As a Yankee fan, as far as Aaron Judge goes, hey, he's had problems in the postseason, no doubt, but he's not alone.
Mm-hmm.
You have two all-time great players in Barry Bonds and Alex Rodriguez, who for the majority of their careers were not good postseason players.
Correct.
It took Barry Bonds that one year when they lost to the Angels in the World Series to turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
And it took A-Rod 2009 to turn his thing around. And that's probably what's going to happen with Judge.
I wouldn't doubt it for a second. Like, that's, I mean, that's where maybe me and some other people will differ. I fully expect Judge to be great in every game he plays. That's just, I fully expect him to be great the next time the playoffs roll around, because he's great. And I expect him to be great until he's not.
Because let's face it, you know that guy, when he's playing, you're always going to get a great effort out of him. And you know he's going to get rewarded for it. You know?
Yeah. I mean, and this year in particular, I mean, he's just been all over everything. He's hitting .427. He's got, he leads Major League Baseball on almost every offensive statistic. He is having an incredible start to the year.
And Chris, and now as far as like with Juan Soto,
mm-hmm.
Mets fans should be doing backflips. Look at what their record is. And this guy hasn't even started
yet.
And he is a great money player.
Yes. No, there's no doubt. That is the way Met fans should look at it. And I talked about this yesterday because I understood Sal's point that Sal made about having I don't think he necessarily meant he can't get into the team or isn't excited about the winning without Juan Soto playing, but there was a level of excitement. I mean, you can't deny it. Like, you could say all you want that you don't care about Juan Soto. And I've heard that. Like, I don't care. I'm a Mets fan. I'm not a Juan Soto fan. I don't care if he doesn't hit as long as they win. Yeah, you can say that, and I'm not saying you're lying necessarily, but you can't have it both ways. The entire offseason was predicated on, wow, this is the Mets are, they went out and got Juan Soto. They took him from the Yankees. Like, every Met fan celebrated that. Celebrated the significance of bringing in the great Juan Soto. Like, there's no doubt about that. And the dynamic of the city and all, we talked about it forever. You can't suddenly then go, oh, I don't care, he's not playing well. Like, okay, granted, it's more important that they win, and I completely agree with you that it's a good sign for the team that they're winning without him, because eventually he is going to get hot, and it's only a positive that you're winning without him playing well. But at the same time, could I understand the idea that Met fans were looking forward to watching Juan Soto be a great baseball player? Because that was part of it, too. It wasn't just that he's a great baseball player. It's that he's fun to watch. And his at-bats, that at-bat against Gattis and the home run that sent the Yankees to the World Series, it was one of the more fun at-bats to watch. You see his thought process play out in his body language. He's literally communicating to anyone who's watching. It's amazing he's as good as he is when he has so many tells. Like, he'd be the worst poker player. You can read it on his face if he's on a pitch, if he's been fooled on a pitch, or if he's impressed. Like, it's amazing watching him play. And so could I understand Met fans who have a slight disappointment that we haven't seen that yet, and you were expecting it from day one because that's what the Yankee fans got? Yeah. But that doesn't change the fact that the Mets are having an incredible season. The vibes are great. Alonso's playing the best ball of his career. Lindor is having a far superior. He looks like the player at the end of last year and not the player of April of last year. And the pitching has been incredible. The Stearns and his pitching lab, I mocked it at times last year, and I questioned it in the offseason. I can't question it anymore. I mean, it doesn't matter who they bring up. Doesn't matter who they bring up, who they pitch, who they decide to convert from a reliever. Like, Griffin Canning was arguably the worst pitcher in baseball last year, who made a start every fifth day. And right now, anytime he needs a strikeout, whether it's against Harper, Schwarber, doesn't matter, he gets it. Like, it's been remarkable what they're doing. So yes, overall, even with the loss last night, Met fans should be through the roof. Even with Juan Soto not producing, Met fans should be through the roof. But I do understand anybody who's a little bummed that they haven't seen the great Juan Soto, because this was such a huge part of who the Mets are, what this offseason was about, and the dynamic shift that you all proclaimed was happening. So I understand anyone's disappointment in Juan Soto, but I have no doubt the guy is going to have a great year because that's who he is. And the same thing with Judge. If you told me what Juan Soto is going to do tomorrow, I think Juan Soto is going to have a great game, because that's what Juan Soto does. And if you ask me if Brett's going to be ornery to start the phone call, I'm going to say yes, because that's what Brett does. Brett in Long Island, what's going on, Brett?
Belichick being a legendary NFL coach transitioning to college at his age, how do you think he's going to perform?
I think he's going to do very well there because he's a great head coach.
You don't think he's going to need Viagra?
I think he'll be okay.
Chris, I was listening to Dave, the wannabe Dave Sims. You know, he'll never be John Sterling. He's ridiculous. He's over the top. I can't. But I'll have to deal with him.
He'll never be John Sterling. He's too over the top. I gotcha.
Nah, John did it in a different way. This guy's forcing it.
He's done a great job.
You do better. You do better than him. And that's stretching it.
So kind.
Chris, so he was talking OPP, ABS, mugging with Judge.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he had 161 home runs in the last 154 games, which is almost a home run every other game. He's batting like 700. And you're on the air saying that No, we can't. Let's just stop. Let's not talk about the postseason. But this is exactly all I'm thinking about. No, you're like, let's just stop for a minute and recognize
how great
he is. Hold on. That makes me think, how is this guy batting 199 in the postseason when he's supposed to, and striking out historically, mm-hmm. when he's supposed to be carrying the team like he is now? Yeah. I can't, man. I think he's a bum in the postseason. I can't listen to you talk about it like that, for real.
Okay.
When you drop that dramatic, you have to talk about that. You have
okay.
to.
Okay, I'm not
no,
saying...
Hey, oh. Go ahead. Chris, go ahead.
I'm not saying...
Chris, come on.
Thank you for the call, Brett. I'm not saying that you can't talk about it. What I'm saying is, just for a minute, because if you're a baseball fan, it's about the 162, and it's about watching great players and watching your team and being invested in that. And if you can separate yourself just for the moment to acknowledge what a great baseball player we are watching. We're watching Babe Ruth right now. We're watching Lou Gehrig. We're watching one of the greatest players to ever do it. When you tell the story of Aaron Judge, you cannot leave out his postseason failures. I totally agree. When you talk about him as a Yankee and his legacy, and when I take my grandchildren or whatever to the Monument Park and talk about Aaron Judge, yes, his postseason failures and whether or not he wins a championship will always be a part of it, especially when you're a New York Yankee. No one is saying that, hey, just ignore it. Don't even think about it. I'm just saying for a second, if you can, because I know there are people like you who for whatever reason, can't look at him for what he is right now as the greatest baseball player arguably we've ever seen. I'm able to do that. I'm able to say, yes, he needs to produce in the postseason and be this same guy. But man, oh man, look at, he is unbelievable. Every night what he does, he's hitting .427. He's leading the world in everything. So yes, and you think he's a bum in the postseason? That's what he's been, and I'll say this again, I know people get mad, particularly in the last two seasons. Prior to the last two postseasons, he was average, he's had good season series, he had bad series, but he was an average to slightly positive, considering you look at OPS, postseason player. The last two postseasons have been so atrocious, and he has struck out at such a ridiculous clip in the last two that it overshadows everything else, and it does make him a bad postseason player. I agree. That's what he's been. But it's heavily weighted on the last two, but that doesn't change the fact that baseball is baseball, and every time Judge comes to the plate, I expect him to be great. And that will be the case come the postseason this year. I am not going to say, oh, he was terrible in the postseason last year. I fully expect him to be terrible in the postseason this year. Maybe you will. I won't, because great players are great. And I weigh, when I think about whether or not a player is great or not, I put the emphasis on the 162 and not the postseason. And you might have a tough time with that. Maybe you think that Luis Soho is a great player. Maybe you think that Steve Pierce with the Red Sox is a great player. Maybe you think David Eckstein is the greatest shortstop in the history of baseball. Maybe that's how you feel about it because they have been great postseason players. Maybe you think David Freese of the St. Louis Cardinals is the greatest third baseman to ever play the game because of his success in the World Series. Enjoy. I take the 162 sample size, and I take the 4 years now where he's been the best player on the planet over the 4 weeks over the last, you know, over last year where he wasn't. That's how I feel about what makes a player great. Now, he'll never be beloved. He'll never be the Yankee that Jeter was in all his championships and his clutch moments if he continues on this pace in the postseason. But I think he's a great player, arguably the greatest player I've ever seen. When Ohtani's not pitching, in case Gio's listening. And I fully expect him to be that in every game, in every series, in every situation. That's what I'll expect. And if he starts, and then we'll have to see what he does. But yes, of course, his legacy is tied as much with anything else. Now, I think the 162 plays more, but his legacy is tied to the postseason. There is no doubt. And that's kind of how I opened the show, talking about Jalen Brunson. I think this is a very big game for Jalen Brunson. And I know that the stats and the level of play has been better for Brunson than Judge in the postseason, obviously. He's averaging 30 points a game. Doesn't change the fact that we base our winning on our stars. Our stars are supposed to go win series, particularly against teams that we deem inferior. This is a big game for Jalen Brunson, no matter how he's played in every other game. And so much talk about the coach and so much talk about Karl-Anthony Towns. And while, yes, I'm not knocking Brunson, but same thing. We will not view Brunson the same if he loses this series. We will not view Brunson the same if he never gets to an Eastern Conference championship in a Knick uniform. We talk about him now, as great he is, top 10 player, changed the franchise, this, that, and the other. If he doesn't do it, we won't think of him the same. And we forget now how we felt about Patrick Ewing, how we feel about Carmelo Anthony, how we feel about these guys. He has to win. And you can't lose series to the Detroit Pistons when you're far superior to them. And it falls at him. It falls on the coach. It falls on Leon Rose. It falls on Karl-Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby and all the money they make and all the value they traded to get them into this building, into this team. And to go out there and lose to the Pistons is a failing on all of them, including Jalen Brunson.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan. When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:39, Nick Monagle here with you on The Fan. Big game for the Knicks tonight. Legacy games. Big game for the coach. I don't know, listen, that's going to be the question, right? I mean, if, again, they got to lose both these games to lose the series. They are underdog tonight, and then Game 7 would scare the hell out of me. I don't know how it couldn't scare the hell out of you. Just Game 7 in general, plus the way that the games have gone at Madison Square Garden, not good. All the pressure would be on the Knicks, absolutely zero pressure on the Pistons. And I don't know if, I mean, I know everyone, especially after the mistake in game five, I still think I'd want to give Tibbs one more year with this team just to give him. They just dramatically changed the team on him. Adding Karl-Anthony Towns, adding Mikal Bridges was a significant change to the group. And I know that that's supposed to make them better, and I feel like it did talent-wise. And it's up to Tibbs to get that talent to play together. And for the most, I mean, listen, they won 51 games. I would still like to give them another year, but I would not be surprised if they lose this series if the coach gets fired. And then again, there are they're going to be the Bretts of the world out there as Knicks fans. Tell me, oh, yeah, Brunson's great. Oh, he turned around the franchise. Oh, great, he's this. He's the best closer in the game. Yeah, he can't close out series. Like, that's going to be part of it. As great as he is, that's what we'll hear. 888-808-1019. Let's go to JB in Bronxville. What's up, JB?
Hey, C-Mac, huge fan. Thanks for taking my call. Let's go Knicks. Let's go Yankees. But I want to touch on Juan Soto. There's been a lot of talk of what could be going on with Juan Soto and why he's lost a hop in his step. And first, I want to give my sincere condolences to all the people of the Dominican Republic, because 2 weeks ago, they had the tragedy. 232 people died. Octavio Dotel was there. Tony Blanco was there.
Terrible story.
You know, it's a terrible story. I'm sorry to call with such a down story, but this young man could be experiencing loss for the first time. C-Mac, you're my number one guy. I lost my father at 18. Mm-hmm. I struggled for 35 years. I'm 5 years sober. Life is amazing. I almost didn't
Good
make
for
it.
You.
People thank you, C-Mac. People grieve differently. This poor kid, these guys were living his dream, and then the next day, they're all gone. He just hit his dream, hit his payday, and what's it all about now? This is a young fellow who was dealing with the massive loss of the country. You talk about 6 degrees of separation. This hits hard, T-Mac. God bless those people. 2 weeks today.
Yeah, no, JB, it was a devastating story. It was a tragic accident. Way too many people passed away. It was very sad. I can't speak to how much that incident has impacted Juan Soto. I don't know. I don't know how many. I mean, obviously, it's his home country. I have no idea how many of those people he had a relationship or knew. I haven't read anything on that, seen anything on that. I just can't speak to it. I don't know. I think there are other reasons why he could be struggling. I don't think that has to necessarily. It could be playing a role. I don't know. Listen, we've speculated about every other possible scenario. I suppose that's as legitimate as some others or as any others. But I can't even begin to understand where he is on that. And, yeah, I mean, listen, loss is tough. You lost your father at 18. I lost my father at 19. It's difficult, but I honestly just can't even speak to whether or not he was impacted by that. I'm sure he was on some level, but I think, you know, anything like that, I think Juan Soto has been able to overcome a lot, and he's really never surmounted to any pressure. I just think he's going through a slump. I think he's going through a slump when he really isn't used to it. Like last year, he probably had slumps with the Yankees, but it was never at the start of the year. He got off to such a great start that his numbers were always good. Like even with a small slump, he was still hitting 290 to 300. Like he's looking up right now and seeing 240. He's hitting into some bad luck. He's hit the ball hard and not had results. You know, he's come over here with a big paycheck and expected to be the man. And he's, you know, he changed the dynamic of the city. And I'm sure he's heard all of that. And he's struggling. And I'm sure that's much more to do with it than anything else, but maybe. Nelson in the Bronx. What's up, Nelson?
Yeah, how's it going, brother?
Good, man. How are you?
All good, brother. I just want to say to the last caller, too, that just called, appreciate that, because I'm from the DR, too, and that means a lot. And I just wanted to touch really quick on what you were talking about a little while ago about Aaron Judge. And I just wanted to say that I agree, because Mike Trout is another perfect example of a Hall of Fame player that's a legend and is going to be a Hall of Famer. And he had a terrible postseason career as well.
He has three games. I mean, I don't even know if, I mean, he has three games in the postseason. That's
exactly.
It.
Exactly. And he I was three laughing games. When
Ted Williams, also. Ted Williams isn't a baseball god. He's a baseball icon. Many believe him to be the greatest hitter who ever lived. And he played in one World Series and lost it and didn't play well in it. Like, Don Mattingly, I mean, is everyone's favorite Yankee when you grew up in that time period. He didn't win a damn thing. Like, it's just, we've gotten to a point where we have become just completely obsessed with the championships, and that's all that matters. And I don't agree with that. It's obviously the most important thing. I want to win championships. That's how every season starts. But I am able to say, I love baseball. I love watching Yankee baseball. I love a baseball season. I love the everyday nature of it. I love watching Yankee baseball. And even if a season doesn't culminate in the championship, I might call that season a failure. I might be disappointed in that season. But I'm able to step back on a daily basis and go, my God, how awesome is it that Aaron Judge is a Yankee and we get to watch him play, and he's arguably the greatest player of the last, you know, since Barry Bonds.
He's going to be one of the greatest we ever seen, and yeah, it doesn't matter if he wins no rings or one ring or multiple rings. It doesn't
even
matter.
On that level, I agree with you. On that level, I agree with you. I think it is much more of a Yankee question than a great player question. I really do believe that, and maybe I'm short-sighted on that. Nobody doubts Ted Williams' greatness. He never won a championship. And baseball's different. Like, Dan Marino kind of has that tint of great, but never won one. But quarterbacks are different. Even NBA players are different. There's only five of them on the court. Like, the impact. You know, Judge could have a great series and lose. We've seen that all the time. And he hasn't been big in the biggest moments, but to me, baseball's about when I call a player great, it's about the regular season. And then they can be great if they elevate their game, I suppose. But, I mean, Derek Jeter is far greater because of his success in the postseason and the championships. But, like, nobody doubts how great Ted Williams is. Nobody doubts how great Willie Mays is. And I believe he only won one championship, and he wasn't very good in the postseason. Like, there's plenty of guys who weren't good in the postseason but are great players. Again, Barry Bonds, Alex Rodriguez. Barry Bonds never won a championship. Everyone universally says, who's the greatest hitter you ever saw? Barry Bonds. Really? How the hell could you say Barry Bonds? He never won a World Series. Like, that's not how I view it. He won't be a great Yankee. He won't be beloved. You got to have the championship to be beloved and celebrated. But just straight up greatest player I've ever seen, greatest hitter I've ever seen. Why would the 3 weeks in the postseason change how I feel about a guy who I watched do it 162 games a year for four consecutive years? And go, I know he was great for, like, you know, 700 games, but man, did he have a bad 12. Like, I don't view it that way.
Your official station to talk New York Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, just a few minutes left until we take you to 5 o'clock and the warm-up show on this Thursday morning. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you in the overnight. So let's get to the calls rapid-fire style. And Bernadette, if you're listening, call now, would you? Don't wait till the last minute. And then don't ask about your door Sanders either. Phil in Tom's River. What's up, Phil?
What's going on, Chris?
Thanks for, how you doing? Thanks for holding through the break, man. What's going on?
Hey, anything for you, bro. I love your show. I love you. But listen, man, you are such a homer. But I'm not mad at it because I'm a Giant. I'm a Giants homer, too.
Okay.
But, I mean, you're saying Aaron Judge. Let me tell you something. A-Rod is 100 times better of a hitter than Aaron Judge. Listen, Chris.
100 times better. I just had someone tell me how. Okay, explain it to me how he's better. 100 times better.
Go look at A-Rod's stats for the years. Chris, he was batting 358 with 40.
He's 50, hitting 427. 55.
Chris, it's May. I want to talk. Right, and now listen. And now again,
first of all, one, in a time period, see how many people hit 430 when Alex Rodriguez hit 430, and how many people, 330.
He got a 368 for the year with 55 home runs, 160 RBIs.
I understand that. But
he did it for 5 years in a row with Texas. It's not, Aaron Judge, let me tell you something right now. Soto can't hold Aaron Judge's job. Aaron Judge is a better defensive player, better hitter, mm-hmm. home run hitter. I would take Aaron Judge. But you're mentioning Babe Ruth. You got A-Rod. Look at A. Listen, I'm not, like, again, Aaron Judge is very good, but Chris, Rodriguez batted 362 with 52 home runs and 152 RBIs.
358. What he hit 358. He hit 358. He hit
for a year, not for April.
No,
for
I understand a year. That. Again.
Here's what was his WAR? I don't know if they did WAR.
He had 110 WAR season. Judge has two on his way to three. Judge hit 322 last year. Judge hit 311 in 22. Go see back
Chris,
to
Chris.
Go look back. I'm just saying, go look back when he was playing and see how many players in 1996 when he hit 350, how many other players in Major League Baseball are hitting 350, and how many players right now are hitting 322. I'm just saying, you compare it to his peers, his OPS. The best of Judge's OPS is far better than the best of Alex's OPS. The highest slugging percentage Judge has ever had is better than the highest slugging percentage Alex Rodriguez has ever had. Alex Rodriguez never hit 60 home runs. Alex Rodriguez
50 home runs 4 years in a row with Texas with 150 RBIs and batted through. I don't know if they did.
He did not hit 50 home runs 4 years in a row. He didn't. He had 50 home runs 2 years in a row.
2004, 2005. All right. And then what do you have? 48, 49, 160, 155, RBI.
Yeah, again, and what do you think Judge is doing?
But it's April right now. I want to see this now.
It's been year three, 22. In 22, he had 62, drove in 131, and had an OPS of 1.1. Which is better than any OPS, Aaron, that Alex Rodriguez ever had. And last year's OPS was better than that.
15 years. He has 700 career home runs.
We're talking about what we're watching right now. What we're watching right now from Alex Rodriguez is better than what we're watching from Aaron Judge right now is better than what we've seen from Alex Rodriguez.
Hey, Chris, you're putting him in the same stratosphere as Babe Ruth.
Yes.
That's what you just said. No, Chris.
He's getting there. Yes, he's getting there. As far as the player we're watching right now, yes. Babe Ruth hit until he was 37. I get it. He's not going to have as many years. Babe Ruth also came up younger. Judge isn't going to have as many years. What we're watching right now, this is the same argument I have with Ohtani. I don't know why people can't get it through their thick skulls that I'm talking about what we're watching right now. I don't need it done for 10, 15 years. I'm not talking about necessarily careers or they did it forever. What we're watching right now, turn on the television tomorrow night to watch Aaron Judge play baseball, and we're watching Babe Ruth. We're watching the best hitters who've ever lived. That's what we're watching. Does he have to do it for 15 years? I don't know. No, not for me. He's what we're watching right now. The last 3 years of Aaron Judge are as good as any 3 years ever. Doesn't have to go on for 15 years. And again, I just told you, someone brought up the same thing about Albert Pujols. Great player. I'll even listen to an argument that Albert Pujols is better. But you can't tell me that he's far superior. Again, best slugging percentage belongs to Judge over both of them. Best. I don't want to go through all this. No one cares. But, I mean, he's got better numbers. Better WAR, better numbers, better everything. Alex never hit 60. Alex never had an OPS as high as Judge's. Never had a slugging percentage as high as Judge's. Richie in Queens. How are you, Richie?
Yeah, well, you can't argue. The guy's been phenomenal. Real quick with the Knicks, their offense is horrendous. I just don't like anything about it. They plod. You know, they talked about that they both had 48 points in the paint, but the Pistons are so much easier with the dunks and Robinson.
That is, to me, I completely agree with you. The baskets for the Pistons, even though they're less plentiful or so much easier. There are times where the Pistons get easy baskets. The Knicks never get an easy bucket.
Yeah,
just it. Mitchell and Foyle, I'm sorry, brother. How you doing?
Big Mac, I'm doing good. One thing with the Knicks. Tonight with the Knicks game, Brunson better have a good game. If they don't, Brunson doesn't have a good game tonight, see game seven back at the Garden.
I don't want to see that game. And, Brunson better. They have to win the series. And if they don't, much like Aaron Judge, which is kind of how I started the show, we're going to think differently of them. Maybe not me, as I don't think differently of Aaron Judge, and maybe we won't. But we base it on championships here and winning big series. You can't lose this series. And losing tonight would scare the hell out of me for Game 7. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. I'll catch you for a midnight ride after the Knick game tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN.